from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Montgomery, in today for Michael Krasny. On Wednesday, presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, face off for the third and final presidential debate. In this half hour, we'll preview that debate and discuss the newest turns in the saga that is this presidential race. This weekend, Donald Trump charged that the election is rigged as members of his own party distanced themselves from that statement, including vice presidential candidate Mike Pence, who said that the Trump campaign will accept the results of the election. Well, joining us is Mark Sandolo. He is the Associate Academic Director of the University of California's Washington Center. Lots of stuff to talk about. Mark Sandolo, welcome back to Forum.
Good morning, Michael.
So let's start first with all the hijinks over the weekend, different statements about the elections perhaps being rigged in the eyes of Donald Trump, and how other members of the Republican Party are responding to that. What's your sense of that? Is that just another one of these sort of things that comes up and then will go away in terms of the Trump campaign? Or is this sort of sticking to the campaign in terms of concerns from within the Republican Party?
It's an interesting charge, and I think that a strong case could be made that American elections, in some sense, are rigged. I mean, you look at the power that incumbents have to win, even in years when there are what they call wave elections, when newcomers win big time in Congress, still over 90% of the incumbents win re-election. The role of money in politics clearly changes the outcome. And, you know, if that's what Trump means by rigged, then I think an interesting and serious debate could be had. But he means something apparently much different. I think what he means is, it's not my fault I might lose this election. And that's very, very different. I mean, last week he had this charge that the Border Patrol was under orders to let undocumented immigrants into the country so they could vote illegally to steal the election. If that's true, that's incredible, and whoever is in charge of that needs to be fired. If the president knew about that, he'd be impeached. But like a lot of things that Donald Trump said, there's not a shred of evidence to back that up, and it's unclear what he means. I mean, he talked about the media a lot, and I think there's an interesting conversation to be had about the fact that, you know, 99%, and it might even be higher, of the journalists that I know have no intention of voting for Donald Trump. Now, that doesn't mean that they are not fair, but it certainly suggests that they come from a vantage point that could be biased, and you can say that in a lot of interesting ways. But the notion that somehow there is going to be, like stealing of election boxes, or that the media is colluding with women to try to make up lies about Donald Trump, that begins to border on lunacy. And as usual with Donald Trump, without any evidence to back it up, we have no idea what it means.
Well, we're talking, of course, about the presidential campaign, the upcoming debate this week between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. If you have thoughts on this, please give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. So with the debate coming, Mark Sandolo, what are you expecting? I mean, what are you expecting? It's hard to know, although if it's anything like the last debate, I'm not sure I can even handle it. But what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, that's the tough part is, so the last debate, Donald Trump referred to Hillary Clinton as the devil. He threatened to jail her if he becomes president, and he brought down a handful of women, three of whom have accused Hillary Clinton's husband of raping them. So, what to expect? Who knows? If I were advising Donald Trump, you would think that, but it may be too late for this. A steady drumbeat of policy distinctions between Republicans and Democrats would help him to consolidate his Republican base. I mean, Republicans at this point, many of them, are cringing at things that Donald Trump has said. But they still are with him on, issues like lowering taxes, keeping immigrants, or at least undocumented immigrants, out of the country, a tougher foreign policy stance. They're with him as far as that goes. And the more he talks those kind of policies, maybe the better he does, but he's been, it's about 400 days since he declared his candidacy, and he's shown no discipline as far as having any ability to be able to do that. So who knows what to expect?
And Mark Sandolo, what's your take on some of the things Donald Trump has been saying? feels like he's shooting from the hip, so to speak. What role are his advisors, who are fairly new, what role are his advisors playing at this point in the campaign?
Well, his chief strategist now, Stephen Bannon, is a guy he brought on about 6 weeks ago, who used to be the executive editor at Breitbart, which is a very, very conservative media outlet. And if you read Breitbart, what he's been saying is very, very consistent with this. You know, international conspiracy, the Democrats have, are in cahoots with the media. So in some ways, maybe he is taking their advice. But, you know, winging it is what he does. You know, The people who first did the Apprentice show with him, you know, they wanted a celebrity businessman, just like Donald Trump. And they said, don't worry, it's going to take more than 2 hours of your time a week. And the idea was to have, like, some guy like Trump for a year or two and then move on to another business guy. And they said, from the very first taping, they saw Donald Trump and they said, whoa, this guy is comfortable in front of the camera. He knows what he's doing. They told him, you're going to have to terminate somebody at the end of the show. He turned around and said, you're fired. They went crazy in the control room. This comes from this new Washington Post book about him. And he's very, very good at that. That is a remarkably difficult trait people don't appreciate, and it's really useful for a reality TV show host. It's not necessarily a good quality for somebody who wants to be president of the United States, and I think he'll shoot from the hip. You know, it's a serious problem. Not only does it make him not disciplined in terms of getting votes, it leads a lot of people to wonder, you know, how he could serve as the nation's, you know, top diplomat.
Right. But and yet his poll numbers, I mean, they seem to be down, but he's certainly not out of the race. And there's a lot of people who are standing by him. What's your take on that?
So this is where, polls work, and people argue with polls, but, I mean, in general, they're pretty good. The tough thing that they have to figure out, though, is not who supports one or the other, who's going to turn out the polls. And it's unclear from these most recent polls if they're very good at that. And, I mean, there is a certain argument to be made that here is a man who has, over the course of his 400 days campaigning, insulted Mexicans, immigrants, Muslims, women, people with disabilities, and I'm sure I'm leaving out a number of folks. He has done things to offend his own party. He has, you know, threatened to jail his opponent. And still, I mean, the Washington Post poll came out this weekend having him trailing by 4 percentage points.
Right.
True?
Right.
If that's true, that means there's something like 50 million. Even if he only gets, you know, 40% of the vote, we're still talking about 40 to 50 million Americans voting for this. And it, you know, it's unclear. I mean, I think some of it is sort of a protest vote. It's simply a protest vote against the status quo. Some of it is a disdain for Hillary Clinton, the Democratic Party. The one analogy I'd like people on the left to think about, because I know that a lot of people who listen to you are on that end of the scale in the Bay Area. Think for a moment, Jerry Springer, you know, the TV crazy man who does all sorts of obnoxious things, getting people to fight on TV. He is a Democrat, and he ran for office. He ran for governor of Ohio. He used to be mayor of Cincinnati. People don't know that for 20, 30 years ago. Every once in a while, he makes noises about running again. And Democrats are like, no, please. They don't want anything to do with Jerry Springer. Imagine through some fluke that Jerry Springer would have won the Democratic nomination, and he was running against Ted Cruz. If you're a Democrat, my God, what do you do? It's like, I'm going to vote for Ted Cruz. No, I can't vote for Ted Cruz. I'll vote for Jerry Springer. And that's sort of the dilemma a lot of Republicans are in right now.
Right. And in case you missed it, we're talking about the presidential campaign between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the final debate coming up this week. I want to go to a caller. I want to go to, I apologize. I want to go to Wynn in Menlo Park. Hello, Wynn. You're on Forum.
Thank you. Mark, I've enjoyed your comments over the years on politics, and I have never lived through, nor has anybody else in America, lived through a campaign like this. But we're going to end up with all of this nonsense behind us, all the debates, all the election on November 9th. What in heaven's name is going to start with this country for the next 4 years?
Mark, well, crystal ball
yeah.
on that?
Thanks for the kind words, Wynn. I mean, you know, of course, the honest answer is, you know, who knows? I do think that people need to understand that for all of the vitriol and for, you know, the hatred that has come from some of Donald Trump's supporters, that doesn't describe 40 to 50 million Americans. And there are millions of Americans who feel, you know, very put out. You know, in Washington, D.C., and I know in San Francisco Bay Area, you know, tens of thousands of people get their New York Times, a nice little blue bag every day. day and, you know, read their world that way. And a lot, most of the country doesn't get their news that way. Most of the country doesn't pay that much attention. And I think people really have to take a look at how frustrated much of America is at the elites, whether it's the top 1% rich elites, whether it's the media establishment, whether it's politicians who, you know, Barack Obama comes flying into the Bay Area and very often doesn't take time to stop in the Mission or in the Tenderloin. Instead, he goes straight up to the top of Nob Hill, takes a bunch of money, and runs. And you can say he's doing this for causes you believe in. I think that might be wonderful if you're on the left. But I do think that people have to take stock of the fact that the country is, there's a lot of the country that feels completely disenfranchised, and there's got to be better messengers out there for that than Donald Trump, of all people. And, you know, somebody's going to tap into that, and I think that Hillary Clinton is maybe uniquely incapable of because she sort of defines what people are angry of trying to mend that fence. So I don't know what happens next. I'm not all that worried about the peasants with pitchforks, which is what some elected official in Wisconsin was threatening. But again, you never know.
All right. I want to go to Philip in Burlingame. Philip has a question about this idea of a rigged election. Philip, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think this is really important, and I think the media has had a blind eye to it. So, you know, Trump is declaring that this is a rigged election because everybody's in cahoots. But the cahoots is still trying to convince voters which way to go. A rigged election is when you challenge a black voter's ability to gain access because they have to show their birth certificate, or you gerrymander, or all of these things that the GOP has done to maintain their hold in the South, and the Voting Rights Act being, you know, vacated by the Supreme Court. I think you guys should be much more careful about how you use the term rigged election, because I don't think that Trump has really described a rigged election. I think he's described the media interacting with the other branches to influence voters.
Well, perhaps it's because Trump's comments tend to come in tweets, which aren't very long. But Mark Sandler, what are your thoughts on this rigged election notion? Is he just covering himself in the event that he loses?
Yeah, and I think the call makes a very good point. I mean, he getting defensive about the media for a brief moment, and mostly what the media has done is just, you know, report his words. And I don't think anybody's explored all that much what he's done. But the call makes a really good point that if you are a Democrat or a minority or somebody who simply just looks at voting law, you can make the case he just did very, very strongly. There has been a concerted effort led by Republicans to try to disenfranchise people in the name of rigged election and voter fraud, but clearly behind the scenes, and there are people who have admitted this, to try to keep people who vote Democratic from getting to the polls. You know, blacks and minorities and, you know, poor people, all sorts of folks who have particular hard times getting to the polls. Here's what's really interesting when you think about that. Let's say that Hillary Clinton, outraged by this and wide reports of this, started to complain that this election was rigged. You would think what she would say would be this: this election is rigged because minorities are make it more difficult to vote. We've got to get out in record numbers to make sure they don't steal this election. You would follow it up with that second part. And what I find very curious about what Trump has been saying, he's not saying this election might be rigged, so I'm begging all of you, please come out to the polls. He's simply saying it's rigged. He said it six times in tweets this morning and yesterday. It's rigged. Which sort of gives you the sense he's sort of like that kid who tries to win the game and he cheats a little, and then when he finds out he's going to lose, he says, oh, this game is stupid. But it's rigged anyways. It's almost 3 weeks before the election if he's already talking sour grapes. And that's why at least Republicans in this town are miserable right now, because this is the guy they put forward.
And we're talking with Mark Sandler, and who is Associate Academic Director of University of California's Washington Center. Give us a call if you have some thoughts at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions to forum at kqd.org or post them on our website kqd.org/forum. I want to go to Kevin in San Jose. Kevin, you are on forum.
Hey, thanks a lot. Donald Trump seems to be a modern-day incarnation of Roy Cohn, the attorney for Joe McCarthy in the 50s, and with constant deniability of any charges, never apologizing. If someone attacks you, you attack them twice as hard, and spinning so many rumors and and lies that the media and the public can't keep up with him. Is the modern era of 24-hour news and the need for constant products like a perfect nightmare of a storm for someone like Donald Trump to abuse and take advantage of?
Thanks for your comment, Mark. Is the media playing along with all this?
I think that Donald Trump has been either extremely lucky or a genius at figuring out how to use the media in this way. And I do think that you know, the caller mentioned Roy Cohn, who was McCarthy's attorney and actually a very, very close friend and attorney for Donald Trump and Donald Trump's father. So he literally, you know, got a lot of advice from Roy Cohn. Ultimately, it depends what happens on November 8th. And if Donald Trump either has a close election or were somehow to win the election, then I think the worst picture that the caller just presented, that Kevin mentions, is going to be a problem. The if Trump loses big, you know, people see that, and if he loses big, then people will understand that that's a way to attract a base of people, but not enough to win an election in the United States. So I think the outcome is what determines how seriously people take this.
More calls about this idea of the election being rigged. Les in Oakland, you're on Forum.
Hi. I don't understand why nobody has brought up this point. If Trump is saying that it may be a rigged election, why doesn't Tom Cruz or somebody saying that the primary elections were also rigged? I mean, if he's going to sort of discredit, you know, an election that maybe he's a loser, why doesn't someone discredit the elections where he was a winner?
Thanks for your comment. Mark, talking about Ted Cruz and some of the others who were defeated by Donald Trump in the primaries, why aren't they, you know, stepping up and talking about a rigged election system?
Well, it's certainly true. I remember when Ted Cruz was being attacked by Donald Trump last spring, and Trump was outraged that there were actually places where Trump had done fairly well with the popular vote, but Cruz was ending up with almost all the delegates, and he said that was rigged. But the fact was that there were, overall, if you looked at the popular vote that Donald Trump had gotten, he got something like 50% of all of the votes, which was remarkable, but he had something like 70% of the delegates. So the mentality was, if I don't get a majority of the votes, it's rigged. And I mean, I think the caller would make a point, except that I don't think Republicans at this point, this is the reason they're so quiet. It has little to do with them thinking that Donald Trump is a good guy or anything like that. I think people like Ted Cruz, and certainly can say this for the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, they feel that if they criticize Trump too loudly, then fellow Republicans will say, forget it, I'm not voting. And they won't turn up at the polls, and they won't vote for Republican House and Senate members, and they will flip control of Congress. That is a concern. I think if it weren't for that, I think you'd have a lot more renunciation of him. And I'm not saying that's an honorable thing, but I think it's an honest political explanation as to why it is that you don't hear more Republicans speaking out against somebody who clearly they have little affection for.
And we have a comment from Sonia. She writes, shame, shame. There are several other parties. Remember? We are talking about the other candidates, Mark. Why aren't we talking about them?
It's a chicken and egg question. I mean, we don't talk about them because they have no support. And, of course, they have no support because we don't talk about them. I mean, there's a limit as to how much you can't simply say that anybody you declared for the presidency will be given a platform. Because, I mean, there are literally hundreds of people ranked the president, and a lot of them are not mentally fit, besides the ones that you've heard of. But I think specifically the caller might be referring to Jill Stein of the Green Party, Gary Johnson of the Libertarian Party. They do have a base of support. It is tiny compared to the others, but it is at least hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. You know, they get anywhere from 1% to sometimes, you know, just below 10% in the polls.
So are there any states where they could be a factor, Gary Johnson in particular?
It certainly doesn't seem that way because Hillary Clinton's lead is so big. I mean, you know, Ralph Nader still insists that if it weren't for him, the election wouldn't have been close because fewer Democrats would have showed up at the polls to vote for Al Gore. And Ralph Nader insists that he actually, that it wouldn't have been a close election. Bush would have been easily elected. And a lot of people think that's also crazy that Ralph Nader votes cost Al Gore the election in Florida, which cost him the presidency. But if this were neck and neck, if this were the race were 3 weeks ago, then yeah, I mean, if a bunch of students at Ohio State vote for Jill Stein because that's where their heart is, and Ohio's decided by 2,500 votes, absolutely could affect the election. At this point, there's really no scenario where it looks like they're going to play a big part.
All right, more callers. Judith in San Jose, you are on Forum.
Online now, the Frontline that was on recently called The Choice. It's a two-hour program where, objectively, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, their backgrounds are delved into. And Donald Trump has not changed since he was a very small boy. And that's how he behaves now. So when you look at the tweets and his behavior at rallies and this whole thing about the rigged election, because he's now seeing he's going to lose, it's all his behavior that was formed and hasn't evolved.
All right, thank you. I want to go to Hugh in Oakland. Hugh, it sounds like you have a question about what's not being talked about.
Right. I mean, you all are mentioning about how Trump's words are being reported over and over again by the media, and that's exactly what you're doing. You could have just called this a half hour about Donald Trump's ridiculous comments. How about covering some things that Clinton says or policies, actual policies from either candidates? And I'd finally like to leave this with, in addition to more substantive issues, addressing the elephant in the room, which is Putin, and Trump is Putin's Manchurian candidate. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugh. Mark, I have to ask about Trump again, but is this sort of sucking the oxygen out of the room in terms of talking about substantive policy issues, real policy issues?
I mean, Hugh has, yes, the short answer is absolutely. And Hugh raises his first point was, I think, a real interesting one, which is, you know, which is why the media spends so much time on Donald Trump and why the media, certainly recently, has spent so much time beating up on Donald Trump. And this is a really tough thing for journalists to face. I mean,
we're doing it right now. Right.
I was in a news meeting with a television group that owns a bunch of local television stations, and they were worried they were bringing in somebody from PolitiFact, but they were concerned because this is this group that checks whether the candidates say is true or not during the debates, and after they do it more than that. They were concerned because last time this woman had showed up, she had five inaccuracies with Trump and none with Clinton, and they thought, well, she really has to balance that out. Well, the problem is, yes, if they both say the same things that are lies or inaccuracies, it's really unfair to pick on one candidate and not the other. But on the same time, there is a false equivalency, and the media goes for this all the time. He said and she said. Sometimes he says something which is demonstrably false. She'll say something which may be questionable, but politicians do that. Are you covering up for Hillary Clinton when you do that? This is, you know, this is a real problem. And I think Hugh touches on something else, which is, of course, the media are suckers for entertainment rather than education. And the media sort of has both roles because they assume that they're going to get more listeners. They're going to get more readers and, you know, viewers if they do things that focus on Trump's boorish comments rather than Clinton's, you know, view of cap and trade. And it may be because they have a view of Americans is not that sophisticated. It could be that their polling shows them is exactly what Americans want to hear. And the Putin argument, this is a perfect example. To go into the Russian relationship, I think, requires, you know, certainly more than 30 seconds. And it takes, you know, half an hour to delve into it. Do I think that Putin actually has a Manchurian candidate, somebody who's got like a marionette? No, I think that's probably conspiratorial, and that, to me, is way off the edge. But at the same time, there's a real interesting issue about who would change our policy with Russia and Trump's path with Russia.
Right.
Russia.
I want to go to Anthony in San Francisco. Anthony, you have some thoughts on Trump. You're on Forum.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just want to say that, first of all, two things. That Trump is being portrayed negatively in the media, and I guess this October, they say this October surprise. I mean, why didn't they bring this up during the primaries, you know, about his past?
You mean the tapes that were released recently? Why weren't those released earlier is your question?
Yeah, that's it, you know, and why is it so, you know, why now? You know, I guess it's because of the polls. They want to boost Hillary Clinton, even though she's had negative. She's got a negative character herself regarding her emails and regarding her foundation. You never hear that on CNN or on the mainstream media. You only hear negative stuff about Trump. That's what I have to say.
Anthony, who do you expect you're going to vote for?
Well, I'm leaning towards Trump because he says that he's going to put an end to these cartels importing drugs in our country for the gangs here to sell, and that's why there's so much high crime in our cities, inner cities, because there's gangs selling drugs for the cartels. See, and you won't hear that in the mainstream media. You see,
I gotcha. Okay, Anthony, thanks for your call. I want to go to Maria in Berkeley. Maria, you're on Forum.
Thank you. I want to know what your speaker thinks about the Electoral College that in California, hands down, will always vote Democrat. And so it is so disappointing with our two-party system, even though there are so many other parties, like Bernie Sanders should have his own party, the Green Party. Write-ins, Gloria LaRiva and Dennis Banks of the Peace and Freedom Party. There are so many people leaning that way, and we don't want to vote for Hillary the Hawk, who brokered $167 billion in arms sales to the Saudis and the Yemenis. Either way, we're going to have a hawk in the White House. It would be disastrous with Trump. But in California, we have the luxury of voting our conscience.
All right, Maria. Thanks so much for your comment. We're sort of running out of time here. I want to go back to Mark Sandlow. Some final thoughts on what you expect with the debate, very, very briefly.
Yeah, well, very quickly, she's frustrated by California's lack of being. Imagine what it was like for a reporter. I have buddies working for the Columbus Dispatch who are getting calls from the White House every election. Hey, you want an Oval Office interview? You want to fly in Air Force One? Believe me, when I wrote for the San Francisco Chronicle, they didn't do that. Not because they didn't like the Chronicle, because we didn't mean anything, because they knew how the state was going to vote. The only thing I would say is that this is historic. I've never seen a party, the leadership of a party, abandon their own nominee like this one. And you know, there's going to be a lot of retrospective on this. And, this most unusual election, which
right.
After doing many of these elections I've ever seen.
All right, let's leave it there. Thanks, Mark Sandlow, Associate Academic Director, University of California's Washington Center. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lorberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai. And we get online support from Amanda Font. Our interns are Brandon Yu and Maxine Schofer-Wolf. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. And our executive producer is Joanne Wallace. I'm Michael Montgomery, in for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.